Welcome back to the program. It is pre-Friday, Thursday here on The Morning Drive. It is, it's also Christmas in June here for jazz fans and indeed for all of the main guys in jazz management. Walt Perrin, VP for Player Personnel, joining us here. And draft day, something you guys have been working toward for more than a year because you scout these younger guys for beyond a year. Is it a little bit like Christmas? And maybe there's a big present that you know what's there. We can't talk about that present, but is it like Christmas for you? I mean, there's with a little more stress?
Well, it's hopefully Christmas for the fans of the Jazz and the fans of in the state of Utah. For me, I'm more like an elf trying to get everything together.
I think so, there's a little more Santa Claus in you, too, but because elf is a little bit, you know, you're doing a lot more than that, but... What does today mean to you? So, you know, like it's the culmination, but there's still the work has to be done. It's coming up later today and tonight, and who knows what you know Dennis Lindsay has cooking. But is your heart rate a little higher today?
Normally it is. It's a key, you know what for me it's you know accumulation of at least a year of work, maybe more for some of the younger kids I've seen when they were probably 17, 18 years old. So it's a year of long, hard scouting, travel, a lot of travel, talk with all my domestic scouts plus our European scouts, and trying to gather enough information that we make a correct decision on draft day. So it's a relief once it's over for me, although I don't get much time off because I have to start working on next year's draft right after this one.
Exactly. And I've been saying it throughout our program, and you know, something happened yesterday. There's wide reports about a possible deal that would negate the 12th pick, but we're not going to ask you about that because it's not official and nobody can really address it. So we're gonna move on from that. But I want to know what is the war room like? You've been there for many years. Does it get? I mean, you guys all get along and you're all partners in this event. But is it? I imagine stress is there, but it's how everybody deals with it, and the players are sliding. Is there celebration? Is there, hey, look at this, or what are they thinking? Or give us an idea, an insight into, you know, sort of the flow of emotion in there.
Well, come draft time, there's a little bit of more of a relief because we've gotten all our work done. Mm-hmm. We kind of have an idea who we may select. Who may be going ahead of us and where they're going. So there's more of a relief, a somewhat of a calm coming over us just before the draft starts. And then once the draft starts, it kind of picks up again because we're trying to figure out, Dennis is on the phone talking with other GMs about possible trades, about what may be happening above us. I may be on the phone with some of the scouts I know talking about, again, what may be happening above us in terms of who's going to be drafted. It kind of picks up just before our pick, mm-hmm. trying to, again, weigh in on who we think is going to be there and who we have on our draft board, who we like, who we're going to select if he's there. And the second round, again, you know, it's probably a little bit more hectic because it's a little quicker pace. You know, you only have 2 minutes between picks versus 5 minutes in the first round. So, again, you're really trying to a few picks before you look before we have our pick. We're trying to figure out, again, who may be there, who we like, who we want to select. So, but then again, after the end of the draft, big relief.
Yeah, imagine. So how does it work? Are there, when it comes down to it, what happens if there's if somebody falls or there's it comes to your time and I imagine you guys have already had the debate, right? Unless somebody like tremendous falls down and it's, you know, then there's a debate versus the guy you wanted or versus the guy who this really good player that you didn't expect to be there. But have you guys already debated it pretty much so that it's somewhat calm? It's just a race crossing people off and the next guy comes up?
Yeah, we've kind of debated. We try to go over every scenario as possible. So we've debated some things before the draft day and up including to the draft. So here's a case with Rodney Hood when he slid. The idea is, in our mind, is, okay, why is he sliding? Mm-hmm. Is there something that we don't have information on in terms of his physical, or is it because he was only working out in certain draft range areas, and he's sliding on because he did not work out for those other players, or excuse me, the other team.
Mm-hmm.
So we talk about that maybe four or five picks ahead. We look at the draft and see, okay, who's still on the board, maybe four or five picks before I pick, and we'll say, okay, we really like him or we like this player. If he's gone, the guy we really like is gone, okay, here's the second guy we have on our board. So we're prepared as much as we possibly can to be able to have a knowledgeable discussion and make the correct decision when our selection comes up.
Is it frustrating when guys who you believe would be in your range don't want to come here to work out? I mean, you understand it. Their agents are telling them, you know, for any number of different reasons, you know, don't go work out there. And it isn't there. It's just where you are in the draft. It's the number. It isn't don't go work out for Utah. Or is it don't go work out for Utah?
Well, I'm sure there's probably a combination of things going through the agent's mind. You know, we're trying to do our job. They're trying to do their job to do the best thing for their client. It doesn't bother us as much if we don't get guys in for workout, because I think we've done enough work before workouts start that we have a good feel for the player. We always get the opportunity to sit down and talk with them in Chicago if they're in Chicago for an interview, so we know them as people. We will always have their physical. We'll know them medically and orthopedically. If we don't get an interview in Chicago, we'll try our best to get a phone interview, especially with the guys in the lottery that don't come in for workouts. So, again, that we get to know the player as a person instead of just as a player. So we feel we do our work beforehand, and we have a pretty good feel for players, whether they come in here or not for our workouts.
Mm-hmm. I want to hit you with a couple of guys, and you can kind of give me a thought. First of all, Jakob Poeltl, a guy right up the hill, wouldn't come in and work out. They think he's going earlier. But, you know, to me, I've watched him play for a big. He runs the floor well, and, you know, I love his passing ability. What have you seen?
Well, I've seen all that. I've seen how much he's improved in 2 years at University of Utah. We were talking in our theater as we was watching some tapes on him earlier this week, last week, that you could see the improvement from the start of this year to the end of this year. And we think he's going to continue to improve. I mean, he was one of the guys that we had on our board as a possible selectee at 12 also. So we think highly of Jakob, and we think he's going to have a good NBA career.
Domantas Sabonis, and to me, what always lurks in my mind with him, I've seen him play and I like him, the fact that he's Arvidas' son has to play in there somewhere, because you know he's grown up around a really good basketball world, and he seems to get that.
Yeah, I agree with you. A lot of times basketball, if a kid grows up with a basketball father or mother, you would think that he has a better idea and understanding of how to play the game. And I think Domantas is in that category. He knows how to play. He's a very good ball handler for his size. He passes the ball extremely well for his size. He's got great hands. He works extremely hard. He's very competitive. So, and it's very similar to what his father was like. So, again, he's one that was on our board at 12. And again, think he's going to have a pretty good NBA career.
Can he shoot it better than we've seen? I mean, a lot of guys grow and in a different system. You know, Coach Few at Gonzaga asked him to do a lot, but not so much step out and shoot threes. Does he have range?
He has range. He came in and shot pretty well from the three-point, especially from the corner three in our workout we had with him. So, I think, again, certain college coaches don't want big guys, whether they can shoot it or not, to step away too far away from the basket. And I think in this instance is that Domantas can easily knock down the 12 to 15, 18-foot jump shot, and I think he's going to be able to increase his range to the three-point shot consistently.
And toughness, not an issue?
With him, no. No. Again, coming from the Sabonis family, there's no qualms on our part in terms of how tough he is.
All right, a guy that kind of popped out and just, you know, I hadn't seen his name a lot, but Wade Baldwin the fourth, I guess. I wonder what senior and junior in the third are like as players, but Wade Baldwin the fourth from Vandy, kind of sneaking up. Give me an idea, a point guard again, which you know, everybody's looking for a point.
He's a player that when he first got to Vanderbilt, I think it was more two guard than point, so he's learning how to play the point. He played mostly point this past year. He's a 6'4 guard that's got extremely long arms, handles the ball well. Not a bad shooter. His numbers are pretty good. I think he can become better in terms of shooting the ball. But he's a guy, again, you know, teams are starting to look for big point guards, and he fits this mold of 6'4", but he's got, I want to say, 6'10", wingspan.
Wow.
So he's got extremely long arms, and he's got big hands.
You guys have 3 second-round picks. I can't believe that you would take all three, but, you know, that's up to Dennis and, you know, what he kind of cooks up, pulls out of his top hat tonight. But give me an idea. Malcolm Brogdon from Virginia, we've seen him play, and you know, really talented, solid guy, senior. You've seen a lot of him. Give me an idea of how he looks.
Well, he looks real good, and I don't even think he's going to be there at 42. I think he's probably sliding into maybe the late first, definitely early second. So, but again, yeah, we like him, but we won't see him at 42. He was player of the year in the ACC and defensive player of the year in the ACC, which is, you know, shows how good of a player he is. Again, he's a senior. He can shoot the ball. He handles the ball well. He's another one with long arms and huge hands, which helps him defensively. An extremely smart player. So he's going to make somebody happy whoever drafts him.
Local kid made Randy Ray look better as a coach, and I say that with a smile because Randy, we know, is a great great motivator and a great tactician, a great bench coach, does a great job at Weber State. But there's a guy who, you know, like Millsap was a bit of a surprise in the second round, but grew into a tremendous NBA player. Is Ballenboy, I'm not going to put that pressure on him, but is there more than meets the eye with Ballenboy in terms of maybe growing into a really, you know, maybe a solid NBA rotation player?
I think so, because Randy's allowed him to expand his shooting range this year, and he's shown the ability to knock down threes, especially corner threes. And I think, he'll get better at doing that as he continues to have reps and get into the gym and work on his shooting. Joe was also one of the best athletes at the Chicago Combine.
Wow.
So I think that's going to help him also in terms of translating his game to the NBA game.
A guy that I liked in college, but I don't know, you know, because he's had spots, but Ron Baker. Again, you know, if you're talking about 42, 52, 60, your 3 second-round picks, who knows whether you keep them. But give me your essence of Baker. Again, a 4-year player. We saw him play big in big games. We saw him struggle. You know, we've seen sort of everything.
Yes. Well, again, he's a 4-year guy, so he's got the experience you kind of like when you bring players onto your roster, especially second-round players, because they're ready to play more so than trying to develop them. Ron's, a good shooter. He's a 6'4", has good length, plays good defense. He's a kind of a, you kind of look at him as a combo guard. You think he's a 2, but you want to see if he might be able to play a little bit of point guard on our level.
Mm-hmm.
He never had the opportunity at Wichita State because they had a little Fred Van Fleet. So, but the talk on Ron, especially 2 years ago when he was thinking of coming out, was can he play? Can he be a big point guard at our level? So, I think a team who drafts him will probably look at that, especially this summer with summer league, and make a determination whether he can play that or he's just strictly a shooting guard.
Basketball IQ not an issue for him?
Not at all. Not extremely smart player.
Okay. Great stuff. I just want, as we step back here, and again, if people are waiting for me to hit the elephant on the couch, we can't talk about what may or may not have happened, widely reported yesterday. But have you sensed from your organization more of a now effect? I mean, every time you go to a draft, it's the same thing. You want the best player. I mean, that's a no-brainer. But have you sensed now that there's a little bit more, I don't want to say urgency, but with all the assets and everything you have and the already existing young talent, that maybe it's more selective, or maybe that there's just other ways to build the team and maybe not so many young kids? Do you know what I'm getting at here?
I think so. Dennis and the organization have always said that we're going to go through this process and try not to skip steps. I'm not saying we would, if we do make a trade, it's not skipping steps, and it's not trying to accelerate the process of us trying to make it into the playoffs. I think if we had been healthy this year, we would have been in the playoffs.
No doubt.
I think we're looking as this as a long-term process in terms of getting us to a championship caliber team. And sometimes you might have to make trades. Sometimes you might have to just go through the draft process and have growth within, which I think we're doing also. So I don't think there's an urgency. There's not a management's not overly concerned about trying to shorten the process in terms of us being a championship caliber team. I think we're trying to go through the process of what we think is the best for the total, for the franchise and the long run of us being not only contenders, but also being able to be a championship contender team.
Yeah, and you know, it strikes me this year more than others, after a somewhat of a down Western Conference season, except the teams at the top, is that everybody in the West is good, and the bottom's getting better with Thibodeau going to the T-Wolves and Jaeger going to the Kings, and you got the Blazers have jumped the process a little, maybe not lasting, we'll have to find out. But man, there's no program that you're seeing that in the Lakers, I forgot about them, they're not going to be down long. So it's wicked, isn't it?
Oh, the West is it's a gauntlet trying to go through the West with all the good teams. And again, you know, as you talked about the Lakers, they won't be down long because they're a prime location for a lot of times for free agents. And they do have the number two pick in this year's draft. So we know that they will be back up into the hunt for the playoffs in probably the next couple of years. And then everybody else has really gotten better. Golden State, OKC, as you mentioned, Portland, the Clippers. Minnesota's got a very good group of young players, and now with a veteran coach in terms of Thibodeau, they're going to probably try to accelerate the process up there a little bit. So it doesn't get easy in the West.
Well, you guys are doing a great job, and if we'll see what happens, but I think the market is already buzzing with good news, and maybe there's a veteran coming in. It'll make everybody smile. But I want to just thank you for your contributions over the years to the programs I've worked on over at KSL. And here, it's my last time I'll get to talk to you. I'm heading out, going to Rio, and then going to the Olympic Channel in Madrid in the fall. But Walt, thank you so much for your friendship and your professional courtesy to come on and answer many of my dumb questions with patience and humor. Good luck to you tonight.
Well, thanks a lot, Tom, and I wish you the very best with your new endeavor, and hope that everything goes well for you and your family on the move to Madrid.
Thank you so much, and we will definitely be in touch. This is not the end, but again, thanks so much for all the support.
Thank you also for having me on.